my commentary in a moment, but what I'm going to say today may seem harsh. But these are difficult times in which the America we have known is being harshly scammed. The ramifications of what was done in the 2020 election by Democrats and a willing media are now unraveling. Progressive Democrats pulled off the biggest scam in American politics. Bigger than Obamacare, bigger than Hunter Biden's drug habit, and bigger than Nancy Pelosi's mouth. They engineered the greatest voting hoax in history and ejected a sitting president from the Oval Office, only to replace him with a doddering old fool whose last grasp of reality was when he spoke fondly at Robert Byrd's funeral, saluting the former member of the KKK and longtime battler against civil rights. Biden's Uncle Joe persona is far from who he really is. In the past, his many lies were to embellish himself and build a new character that was larger than his real-life experiences. Today, Biden lies again and revolves around his ability to function. I share credit today with Steve Shelton of Town Hall. Let's not beat around the bush. Joe Biden is a feeble old man who is probably a year or two from needing to be admitted to a skilled nursing home facility or requiring constant medical supervision. Yet, Democrats got him elected to lead the most powerful country on the planet. Those two contrasting facts should scare Americans of every persuasion, but they don't. The left is so infected with Trump's derangement syndrome that they were willing to elect a man who literally must be led around by the hand when in public. Now, I can already hear the Biden apologists howling at what I just said, but I don't make that statement without proof. Behavioral observations aside, any insurance company actuary with knowledge of long-term care tells you that the odds of needing nursing home care at age 65 are relatively high and grow exponentially as one ages. Those odds are far greater with pre-existing conditions. Joe Biden was 78 years old when inaugurated as president. According to the Social Security Administration, he has a life expectancy of just beyond 9 years from that time. Biden was older at the start of his term than Ronald Reagan was when he left the office. Biden's age alone puts him at high risk of needing advanced care, not to mention the obvious decline he is demonstrating. Of course, he doesn't demonstrate his declining faculties very often because his handlers keep him secluded from the public. On a side note, one need look no further to provide the basis of the media regarding their claims of Reagan's senility versus Biden's. Just ask anyone over 50. A recent video showed Biden quickly being led by the hand by a staffer. When I first saw the video, I was trying to concentrate on what he was saying and disturbed that he was being shielded from unscripted questions in a public setting. Days later, it hit me like an Antifa-thrown frozen water bottle that the key to the video was not what Biden was trying to say or that his staff was actively working at removing him from a potentially embarrassing situation. The real takeaway was that the President of the United States was literally being led away by the hand. The staffer did not grab him during the questioning and pull him away. She was leading him by the hand and arm from the moment he exited the building, much like one would do for an elderly grandparent. Can anyone, even for a second, imagine Donald Trump being led out by the hand? I can hear the snarky NPR reporter and CNN anchor describing the scene time and again of President Trump being led by the hand following a barrage of rhetorical questions meant to impugn his character further. That news feed would run 24/7. It would say, "Weakened Trump led away by his hand." Major networks would open the news with hand-picked experts on the elderly, describing the symptoms of decline. Their commentary would run nonstop on left-wing outlets with scrolling captions like, "How many good days does Trump have left? Is America ready for the death of a president?" I don't care if you liked Trump or not, but it's irrefutable that he did not require being physically led away by the hand. Far from it. Anyone who worked around Trump will tell you that it was nearly impossible to keep pace with him. In comparison, I don't think Joe Biden could get through an 8-hour workday being a door guard at a funeral home, let alone dealing with the stresses of being the leader of the most powerful nation on earth. Here's a short list of people who must be led by the hand in public: small children, criminals when handcuffed, the severely mentally handicapped, blind people on occasion, those with weakened ambulatory systems who are at the risk of falling, grandmas at weddings, and men while in shopping malls. This is simply a statement of fact and is no way intended to be a slight to any of the groups I mentioned. No one requiring hand-holding due to age-related decline should be president of the United States. There is nothing more sobering and humbling than watching someone who once was vibrant and energetic lose those characteristics to the sands of time. Anyone who has held the hand of an elderly grandparent or parent knows that feeling well. Joe Biden cannot function on his own. He has to have help from either his wife or his handlers, and that's dangerous for the United States. The progressives around him are responsible. He is no more in charge of the United States than Mickey Mouse is in charge in Disneyland. I share credit for today's commentary with Charles Hurt in Washington Times and Cheryl Atkinson for their research and comments, which I will combine with my own. Let's begin today with what I think should be obvious. People with black skins should not be considered more ignorant than people with white skins. Yet that is what happens whenever an argument is made about changes in the law. The state of Georgia passed a new voting law that affects all people in the state, regardless of skin color. That brought out the bombastic boo birds from the left, crying racism once again. Jim Crow is back and wants black voters in Georgia to die of dehydration before they cast ballots in the next election. That is literally the story that every media outlet, from the Washington Post to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, is shamelessly peddling for clicks on the internet right now. A headline by Rich McKay of Reuters read this way: Georgia bans giving water to voters in line under sweeping restrictions. This water ban, according to McKay and the rest of the dishonest media, is designed to curtail the influence of black voters. First of all, what is it with these people who are incapable of judging voters by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin? Why is it that Mr. McKay and his fellow clowns in the media are so incapable of viewing black voters as anything other than one giant monolithic block of people who think and vote alike? Most pernicious of all, why do these flagrant racists in the media refuse to accept black voters as anything other than helpless victims who are too stupid to take care of themselves, get an ID, or plan ahead? Why is it that only black voters, according to these people, are the ones who will not be able to bring a bottle of water with them to the polling booth on election day? Do white people not get thirsty and hungry? The critics say that black people stand in longer lines. How ignorant do they think these people are? Can they not plan ahead, just as a person with white skin must do? If you had a child who treated classmates like this on the playground, you'd wear out their hind end with a wire brush. But these are the same racists who think black people don't know how to operate a computer and are too dumb to learn how. Just ask Joe Biden. Democrats like Biden and the media talk about black voters as if they were helpless children who couldn't twist on the water spigot if they got thirsty. Without great white saviors like them, black voters would thirst to death. Joe Biden seems to think he is Moses, leading black voters out of the wilderness and into the land of milk and honey. Not that black voters don't have value to Democrats. They most certainly do, at least on Election Day. Or, as the former chairman of the South Carolina Democrat Party once observed, "I don't want to buy the black voter. I just want to rent them for a day." These people are sick beyond words. But it's now the Republicans in Georgia who are the racists, because they passed a law that bans giving water to voters waiting in line at the polls. Which reminds me, there's another problem with this whole story about this Georgia law banning water at the polls. It's a complete lie. The Washington Post and Rich McKay of Reuters are all lying through their teeth. They are shameless, dishonest, racist liars. Not only does the Republican law not ban providing water to the voters at the polls, the law specifically states that election officials may provide water as they see fit. The law reads like this: "This code section shall not be construed to prohibit a poll officer from making available self-service water from an unattended receptacle to an elector waiting in line to vote." In other words, according to Democrat activists, Jim Crow laws have been resurrected to dehydrate only black voters in Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia signed an election integrity bill that requires voter identification for absentee ballots, among other measures. The bill easily passed through Georgia's Republican-controlled House and Senate. The new state law requires absentee voters to provide identification rather than election officials verifying signatures through the controversial processes they used in 2020. Under the new law, the state is no longer permitted to mail out absentee applications unless they are solicited, as happened during the pandemic. The 95-page bill also addresses ballot drop box security, permissible voting time frames, and acts that could inappropriately influence voters waiting in line to vote. Critics of the new law say it is an effort at voter suppression and denies equal opportunity to minority voters. Others say reform was necessary to ensure confidence in Georgia's election integrity after widespread questions about voting practices and fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Democrats are fighting any attempt to ensure election integrity, while at the same time allowing an immigration surge at the border designed to cultivate future Democrat voters. Joe Biden has said that the United States can easily absorb another 3 million immigrants. That's 3 million people who would drain the American taxpayers dry with demands for welfare, health care, food stamps, free education for their children, and eventually the right to vote. Who doubts that they will vote for the giveaways to continue? Joe Biden earned 4 Pinocchios for making misleading comments about Georgia's new election law, both during his first press conference and in an official presidential statement. That's a new way to describe lies being told. So what is the truth about Georgia's new voting law? In his written statement, Biden said of the new law, "It adds rigid restrictions on casting absentee ballots that will effectively deny the right to vote to countless voters." The truth? The law does require voter ID for individuals who are casting ballots, which previously was not the case. A voter would have to provide a driver's license number or another state identification number on the absentee ballot form. The law also requires voters to request absentee ballots 11 days before the election. In its previous form, the law allowed voters to request ballots by the Friday before Election Day. The deadline is still before Election Day, but the new law allows voters to return applications for absentee ballots online through the Secretary of State's office. The earliest that Georgia voters may request an application for an absentee ballot will be 77 days before Election Day, down from 180 days. Governor Kemp said that 96% of Georgia voters already have suitable voter ID, and alternative identification would be provided at no charge to those who need it. It is important to point out that this new law applies to all Georgia voters, regardless of skin color. There are no special restrictions applied against people of color. Georgia's new law prohibits campaign workers from distributing food or drink or anything else of value to waiting voters, and from setting up a table within 150 feet of the building or 25 feet of a voter. The most prominent talking point to emerge from Biden and other Democrats has been regarding water bottles. Biden said this: "It makes it a crime to provide water to voters while they stand in line." Lines that Republican officials themselves have created by reducing the number of polling sites across the state disproportionately in black neighborhoods. That was a lie, because the law specifically allows official poll workers, as opposed to campaign workers, to provide water to voters, a practice known as the line-warming loophole, in which campaign operatives provide giveaways to voters while they stand in line, is not a new controversy. Last year, the Georgia Secretary of State warned against tolerating the practice. Give campaign activists 1 inch, and they take a mile. As for Biden's charge that Republicans are creating long lines to vote, the new law provides additional voting equipment or poll workers to precincts containing more than 2,000 electors. That, the governor pointed out, would lead to shorter lines, not longer lines, as Biden had falsely claimed. But that was not the only false statement Biden made about this law. In his written statement, Biden said this: "Among the outrageous parts of this new state law, it ends voting hours early, so working people can't cast their vote after their shift is over." That assertion about voting hours is another lie. The new Georgia law does nothing to change Election Day voting hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., although it expands weekend voting before Election Day. The new law adds early voting on 2 Saturdays and 1 Sunday that previously were not available to Georgians. Previously, some rural counties in Georgia didn't provide for early voting for 8 hours on a work day. The legislation signed into law by Governor Kemp does limit the time for runoff campaigns from 9 weeks after Election Day to 4 weeks. But it says early voting in these runoff elections should begin as soon as possible prior to a runoff from any other general primary. Stacey Abrams, a political activist, said the law known as Senate Bill 202 would render drop boxes useless and otherwise harm voters across the state. But the new law actually codifies use of drop boxes. Each county in Georgia must provide at least one drop box. But boxes will have to be located near early voting sites and be accessible for dropping off absentee ballots when these polling locations are open. The law specifically says that any additional drop boxes shall be evenly geographically distributed by population in the county. In other words, the law does not favor any particular group. Putting aside what is or isn't acceptable political hyperbole, Jim Crow has a literal historical legacy. Factually, the term Jim Crow laws refers to state and local laws back in the segregated South that existed after the Civil War until at least the mid-1960s. With regard to voting, these laws included requiring poll tests for black voters before they could cast a ballot. These overtly racist laws also restricted employment and educational opportunities for black Americans. Schools, parks, recreation facilities, and other public buildings were segregated throughout the South, as were public restrooms and water fountains. The Jim Crow era included terrorist activity by the Ku Klux Klan, which committed violent and deadly acts against black people, such as lynchings, often with impunity. No rational person can condone that Jim Crow era. But Hans Spakovsky, the manager of the Election Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation, pointed out that it's an outrageous historical lie and insulting to those who actually suffered under Jim Crow election laws in the Old South to compare providing an ID on absentee ballots with Jim Crow. All Georgia voters, not just blacks, fall under the same law. Nothing is asked of black voters in the new law that is not asked of white voters. Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams must be reminded that it was their political party, the Democrat Party, that instituted the Jim Crow laws. It was their Democrat Party that split the country apart, demanding that slavery continue in the United States. Sadly, some corporations are cowing down to demands of the far left and striking out against the new Georgia law. Major League Baseball took a knee-jerk reaction by removing the All-Star game from Atlanta. Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola have attacked the state as well. There are now calls to move the Masters Golf Tournament out of Augusta, Georgia. I don't call for boycotts as a rule, but I can say that I personally will not spend one more nickel on Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, or Major League Baseball. These weak-kneed corporations, and several others, are all too quick to bow down to the left-wing activists in our country. I doubt if any of them have actually read or studied the new Georgia election law. Democrats who, for decades, treated black people as their personal slaves, now use them as bludgeons against any attempt to ensure fair elections. Let me say again that liberal progressives treat black Americans as if they are incapable of being equal citizens. They seek to continue their control of the black population by convincing them that they cannot survive without their progressive Democrat protectors. Black people, they say, are too ignorant to get an ID, too ignorant to think for themselves, too slow to be able to educate themselves. Without progressive Democrats to lead them around by their noses, black Americans can't function as normal human beings. That is the same mentality that was used for more than 100 years to keep the black race under Democrat control. But many black Americans today have begun rejecting that attitude of superiority from Democrats. They are thinking for themselves these days and leaving the political plantations that Democrats drove them to after the Voting Rights Act was signed. Democrats are well aware of that, and they've turned their attention to the next wave of bloc voters they hope to make dependent on government that Democrats would control. That, of course, would be the surge of immigrants now sweeping across our southern border. Those immigrants will be dependent upon government handouts, just as black Americans were kept that way for decades. It is time to call the hands of Democrats who use the race card with abandon. As long as we tolerate that, our country will remain in turmoil. I wanted to remind you that if you hear my commentaries on the internet, on radio, on Facebook, you're missing the midweek bonus commentaries that I have begun doing about the myths of American history and world history. I did one recently on the Alamo and got great response. These were not things we had been taught in school. On the contrary, we were taught the very opposite of what is the truth. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be doing these midweek commentaries, not using politics, but using research on the myths of history. We don't teach much history in our schools anymore. Those of us who did receive teaching of history now find that much of what we were taught is not correct. It's simply a myth. Things like the Salem witch trials. I'm sure you have heard all about them, but what you heard is not necessarily true. Also about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. The list is long, and I intend to do the research and prepare for you a commentary on those myths each midday week. So I hope that if you don't receive my commentaries in your email, because that's the only place you're going to be able to get these midweek commentaries, that you will send me your email address and let me put you on our growing list of people who receive my commentaries in their email each week. These bonus commentaries will go out on either Tuesday or Wednesday of each week, and I think you will be surprised to learn the true history of America and of the world versus what we were taught in school. I thank you for giving me your time this week. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station, and God bless America.